Today we celebrate the wonderful feast day of St. John the Baptist. He's one of the few saints that has more than one feast day. We have his feast day today celebrating his birth, and later in the year we have a feast day which honors his martyrdom when he was beheaded by King Herod in King Herod's dungeon. We're just about 6 months now from Christmas. We know that Scripture tells us that John was 6 months older than Jesus. When the angel Gabriel came to Our Lady, he said, "Elizabeth, your cousin, is now in your 6th month. Sometimes people wonder, well, how do we know that John was born in the end of June and our Lord is born at the end of December? Well, when we look at Luke's Gospel, we see that Zachary, the father of John the Baptist, was in the temple in Jerusalem during the feast day. That particular feast day was at the end of September. And we know that the angel Gabriel told Zachary that when he went home, his wife would conceive a child, and he was to name him John. And so if we count 9 months from the end of September, we come to this time period, the end of June. And then we know that John was 6 months older than our Lord, so we know that our Lord would be born around the end of December. So those are some of the reasons why the Church has placed the birthday of John the Baptist here on the 24th of June and the birth of Christ at the 25th of December. Those are perhaps the most accurate dates that the Church could find. But it's also appropriate because at this time period, the end of June, we have the summer solstice. And we know that from now on until the end of December, the days will be coming shorter and shorter. There'll be less and less light each day, which is very appropriate because John the Baptist said that he must increase and I must decrease. And so we see that the daylight is decreasing now with the birth of John and will begin increasing again in December at the birth of Christ. But what do we know about the birth of John the Baptist? We know it was really a miracle because it says that Elizabeth was well beyond childbearing age. And so God worked a great miracle that she could conceive a child. We know that Elizabeth was our Blessed Mother's cousin and that John's conception brought great joy to Elizabeth and also to Our Lady. As soon as she heard that Elizabeth had conceived a child, she immediately went into the hill country of An-Karim to visit her cousin Elizabeth. We know that as soon as Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, John the Baptist leapt in her womb. So John the Baptist at this time was 6 months old in Elizabeth's womb. So we see, really with John the Baptist, perhaps one of the patron saints of the pro-life movement. Because here was this six-month-old baby, this six-month-old fetus in Elizabeth's womb, who recognized the voice of Our Lady. And he leapt for joy because she had brought within his presence Jesus, who was only perhaps a week old in Mary's womb. Just a brand new conception within Mary's womb. So here we have the meeting of two unborn children. And the presence of one, namely Jesus, sanctified the presence of the other, namely John. And the Church has always taught that at that moment, John the Baptist was sanctified from original sin. He was freed from original sin at that moment. So what we see here is Our Lady acting as the mediatrix of grace, the channel of grace, because she's the one who brought Jesus into the presence of John. Therefore, she was the channel of graces to John and to Elizabeth. Sometimes people will say, well, I don't see Mary as a channel of grace in Scripture. All we have to look at is the Annunciation and this event of the Visitation to show how Mary is the channel of graces to us, because she's the one who said yes to God. Christ came to us through Our Lady, and also we see her bringing Jesus to John and Elizabeth. Well, then we know later on that John eventually appeared in the desert. So what happened to John between the time of his birth and the time when he was approximately 25 or 30 years old when he began his public preaching? Where was John during his his boyhood and his adolescence and his teenage years. Scripture doesn't tell us. There's a tradition that John went to live by the Dead Sea, down in the Essene community at Qumran, where men would gather and live a life of prayer and penance. It's possible that John lived down there, and this is where he studied the sacred scriptures, and then he was called by God to appear preaching in the desert around the outskirts of Jerusalem. It says all of Jerusalem went out to be baptized by John at the Jordan River. And John was preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So John's main mission was to prepare the way for the Lord, to call people to repentance, to call people to give up their sins, and to get their hearts ready for the coming of the Messiah. And eventually, John was arrested by King Herod, and because John preached fearlessly, the fact that King Herod was living in adultery with his brother's wife, because of that, Herod's wife had John arrested, and you know the story of how he was killed in prison. So we have a tremendous saint today, the saint that was the cousin of our Lord, sanctified in the womb, he was the greatest of the Old Testament prophets and really the first of the New Testament. He bridged the gap between the Old and the New Testament. So what we can learn from John is his great courage and heroism in standing up for the truth.